Grace and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Looking out in the empty pews, I'm reminded of something I read years ago in a Christian humor magazine. It was a pretend ad for an inflatable congregation, so that if you didn't have a big enough group gathered, you could just stick these folks out in the pews and blow them up with a pump, and you'd have a full church. I always thought it was funny, but I was thinking today it might be nice if we could do that. It will be nice indeed when we can gather again as a fellowship in Christ. With schools being out and parents and grandparents trying to make sure studies get done, it puts a lot of pressure on families. Plus, with so many out of work, it means that lots of time is spent together and all the other normal tasks have to be taken care of. Weary of constantly picking up clothes from the floor of her son's room, a mother finally laid down the law. For every piece of clothes she picked up, she would charge a quarter. Told her son that was the case. So at the end of the week, she received her $1.50 promptly, along with a 50-cent tip and a note that said, "Thanks, Mom, keep up the good work." Things don't always work out as we think they might. But it is a challenge in many ways for us in this time. There used to be a lot of jokes about St. Peter, and with our emphasis on social distancing, came across this one, St. Peter walking the streets of heaven, which he felt looked extremely crowded. He went to the gate to look in the book that keeps the records, and sure enough, there were too many people on the streets, according to the information in the book. So he called St. Paul. "Paul, this doesn't look good. I'm sure there are too many people on the streets. Who are these people and how did they get here? Go and see if you can find out what's going on." So St. Paul went to investigate, while St. Peter stood guard at the gate personally. After a while, St. Paul returned with a report. "You are right, Peter. There are extra people here." St. Peter replied, "I knew it. Where are they coming from?" St. Paul answered, "Oh, it's Jesus again. He's letting people in the back gate." Jesus invites us into his kingdom. Oftentimes we look and think and even believe, despite what our professions say, that somehow we have to earn our way. But Jesus brings us in. As it says in the gospel, he is not only the good shepherd, but he is also the gate. This verse that begins the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," is the message of the whole Psalm. It's a reminder that God will satisfy our needs. All the images shift and change some in the Psalm, but that's the message for all of them. It is, in fact, I think, one of the most beautiful and comforting images in the whole Bible. And it is a favorite psalm for a lot of people. It is, for many people, one of the first pieces of scripture they ever learn is the 23rd Psalm. Even as young children, they learn it and are reminded of God's presence and God's mercy. According to scholars, the Hebrew word for paths of righteousness are really more like ruts in the ground. The path. A path used so much that it wears down. So walking with God is like following a well-worn path where many people have trod before. To walk with God in a righteous path is to live in a way that promotes and continues right relationships with the neighbor, with the community, and with God. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Living that way glorifies God. When Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd who will lead us, it means he is also the guide to the paths of righteousness, Jesus leads us and guides us in right relationships if we strive to follow him. The thing is, they don't lead directly to green pastures, from the green pastures to God's house, but they go through a dark valley along the way. The paths of righteousness for Jesus led directly to the cross. Jesus has shown us that way and calls us to follow him. The good news is that when we walk those paths of righteousness, even if they're troubled and through deep shadow, we are walking with God. Jesus today in the gospel talks about leading us on the pathway as our good shepherd, but also as a gate for the sheep. A lot's been written about sheep being dumb animals, and you've probably heard a number of stories about that, and so you may not be real thrilled about being called a sheep. And sometimes they may not be able to find the food and the water, and they will get lost if no one's around to guide them. But the thing that Jesus emphasizes is that the sheep know their shepherd's voice. Whatever we can or may say about their abilities and their intelligence, they recognize the voice of one who cares for them. They follow their shepherd, but they don't follow strangers whose voices they don't know. Even today, if you talk to people who go to parts of the world where there are shepherds and taking care of sheep in poor communities, they still gather their sheep with their voice or with a whistle, a little pipe that they use that the sheep recognize. Even today, sheep can be put into a pen with sheep belonging to several different shepherds, and in the morning they will come out and go with their shepherd. They follow the voice. They know the voice and the sound. There have even been stories about shepherds walking among sleeping sheep, and if it is their sheep, the sheep will continue to sleep and not be bothered by the shepherd walking. But when a stranger walks among the sheep, they will immediately awake and start bleating an alarm to the other sheep because there is a threat in some way. Well, right now, our lives probably don't seem so much like green pastures and still waters with all the disruption we face. In some places, you're not even allowed to go to the parks to be around green grasses and still waters. All across the globe, right now, there is a fear of death. It's in our congregations, it's in our communities, it's in our country, but it's also around the world, facing people in all places. Instead of the beautiful spring and celebrating all the changes and activities of spring, we find ourselves confronted with the necessity of staying away from people and activities we love to do. One way or another, we're all experiencing a kind of valley of shadows time. For some, it may just be mainly inconvenience and difficulty in dealing with the changes. But for others, it is extremely dark, a time when they're facing serious illness or death. Some have lost those they loved. Some may be confronting the loss of their businesses or the loss of their income for a long time to come. And for those who confront death and the loss of the people they love, they can't even hold a funeral and say goodbye and mourn with their friends and their family. It's a challenging time. It's a difficult time for people in many, many ways. But it tells us in that psalm, and Jesus tells us, to have faith that he is with us. And he will go with us through this valley as long as it takes and as long as it lasts. The thing about sheep, too, is that sheep generally are led. If you have cattle, they're driven. You've watched old westerns. You've seen cowboys having cattle herds and driving the cattle and riding around and yelling at them. But with sheep, they're mostly led. The sheep follow the shepherd and go with the shepherd. And the shepherd protects and cares for them and watches over them. When they're in that pen at night, oftentimes the shepherd in those days would sleep across the entrance. So they really were a kind of gate for the sheep to protect them from things that came in the night, and also to make sure the sheep didn't wake up and wander off confusedly. And so Jesus says, I am that gate between you and the dangers and the threats in the world. But I am also your shepherd, and I will lead you on those paths of righteousness, those ruts in the ground that have been trod by so many people before. And we have that promise that Jesus is leading us still in the midst of all that comes upon us, that he is with us. I read sometimes writings from a woman named Peggy Hopps, and she does devotional articles. One she had this week made reference to Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the context of the world in which we live. He grew up in a large family, a close family, in Germany in the early part of the 20th century. He worked at creating a community of people to educate young men when he left the state church and joined the confessing church. He wrote a book called Life Together, which was a guide for living together in a Christian community. And he found a way to create that sense of community for his students. Later, he would be arrested because of his involvement with groups that fought against Hitler. And even in the prison in which he was kept, he also managed to create a sense of community with many of the guards. He had a terribly humiliating and painful death in trying to stop Hitler. Not long before the end of the war, if he had survived another month, he probably would have been set free, but he didn't. He died. And the death there was very hard and harsh. They were hung with piano wire, and they were not dropped from a step, but lifted up in the air, choking them to death. They were stripped naked before they were hung to humiliate them. Some of the guards with whom he had had a relationship would not even watch the execution because it was so painful. His last words were, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." He knew that God was with him, watching over him. He knew that the Good Shepherd was there for him. The thing about Bonhoeffer is the life he called us to live is a life guided and driven by faith in Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. He was neither a liberal nor a conservative. He was both. He was frustrated with some of the modern theology of the Lutheran Church in Germany, and that's part of the reason he eventually left. He felt it was willing to follow loudest voices around and no longer always relevant to the society of his day. He felt the church was not willing to stand up for what God said was right and against what God said was wrong. In Bonhoeffer, he saw the world differently than many people. He saw that Christ was present in the world. He believed that in following Christ, we separated ourselves in many ways from the world, and that it was not an easy path to follow. When you read his writings, letters and papers from prison, Life Together, and his other work, you see this sense that it's important to follow the shepherd. And the shepherd is a shepherd for all people. A shepherd is not a shepherd of one person, despite our famous image of the shepherd going to save one sheep and bring him back to the flock. But the shepherd is the leader and the one who watches over a flock. And Christ watches over all of us. All of us. And Christ seeks to lead all of us in his path, in his way. We are called to work together for the sake of God's kingdom, united not by one point of view or the fact that we all believe the same things, but united by the grace of Christ Jesus, united by the certainty that Christ is our shepherd and that he is leading us and guiding us and will be with us throughout whatever valleys we go through. The church, we can live without fear in the sense that God is with us and calling us to be faithful. In the reading from Acts, the believers shared everything in common. It says they even sold their goods to help one another in times of trouble. They shared God's grace, going to those who had less and receiving what their needs were. They met regularly for prayer and study, gathered to share fellowship with one another. They celebrated with joy, praising God. And that is what it means to live in the house of the Lord forever, throughout this life, not just in the life to come. Jesus told those listening that he is the door for the sheep, the way to a life of grace and mercy. God's word is a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of promise. Peter reminds us that dwelling with God doesn't mean we never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will, like Christ, face suffering and difficulty. But we are promised that in the midst of that, Christ will always gather us in and bring us back. For you were going astray like sheep, he said, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Life, or eternal life in John's gospel, is not just about life after death. It's about life in the here and the now, as a community in Christ, finding security and nourishment as part of the flock of sheep that belongs to Christ, a life that abounds in meaning and value and endures beyond death. Like many people, I first memorized Psalm 23 when I was a young child. I didn't know much about dark valleys back then. When you get to the part about preparing a table in the presence of one's enemies, well, if I didn't had enemies back then, I didn't know it. Except maybe some days my brother. He and I definitely had some challenging days on occasion. But nevertheless, those terms didn't mean a lot, but there was something about that psalm that was comforting and peaceful. I'm a lot older now. Now we know what enemies are, and we know that right now one of the greatest enemies is that invisible virus. It stalks us like a roaring lion, to use Peter's words. We're all too familiar also with that final enemy named death. More than ever, we need a shepherd to guide us in this dangerous world. Life isn't easy. It's not all still waters and green grass. We wish it were. We yearn for the day when that may describe our life. But until then, we know and celebrate that Jesus is our shepherd. And with him leading us, we in the end lack nothing because his presence gives us what we need. In the beginning, the church was more than a group of people who got together for an hour or so each week to hear the word and celebrate communion. They prayed together. They studied scripture together. They ate meals together. They gathered in their homes as well as a synagogue. They shared with one another. If someone needed something, someone else supplied it. This was a community they knew, a community they were part of, and they needed it and offered it without thought. It's this sense of community that we long for now. It's that sense of community that can change the world. It's a community we need. It is that community the Holy Spirit invites us into and calls us to share with the needy world. And it is that community that we look forward to gathering together with again in weeks to come, so that once again we can share and worship and fill this space not with blow-up people spread around, but with real people, friends and family, those we care about, those we want to share the good news with, and celebrate the promise that in the midst of all that we've been through, Christ was there, guiding us and leading us and watching over us, and that Christ will continue to be there, leading us and guiding us and watching over us, with the promise that we will be gathered into His kingdom, both in this life and in the life to come. We have only to trust and listen for the shepherd's voice and follow as it leads us. Amen.